Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Tuesday, July 28th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as outfielder Casey Schmidt was placed on the 10-day IL with a knee meniscus tear. That means his season is in jeopardy, even if Schmidt doesn't undergo surgery. If he's out for 6 weeks, it really wouldn't make sense for the Giants to try to force him back into the majors with them completely out of contention at this point. So if I roster Schmidt in any league where I have limited IL spots, I would be dropping him. I personally dropped him in my home league. It's a huge blow to fantasy teams, as Schmidt's versatility positionally has made him super valuable. He's been having a great breakout season. It's also a huge blow to a Giants club, but like I said, is already out of contention. But Schmidt has been one of the few bright spots in San Francisco. Second baseman Christian Koss will see an influx of playing time at third base, where Schmidt has been filling in for Matt Chapman, who's on the injured list. So when Chapman returns healthy, he will take over at the hot corner. But for now, it's going to be Christian Koss. And shortstop Aslevis Basabe was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, reliever Cole Sands was placed on the 15-day IL with an elbow strain. Sands was healthy for 3 days after returning from a different elbow, same injury pretty much. And with Sands heading back to the IL just 3 days after missing a couple months with an elbow injury, I would be very surprised if Sands returns at some point this season. Reliever Jack Anderson was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, reliever Beck Way was placed on the 15-day IL with back spasms, and reliever Easton McGee was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. McGee had just been acquired via trade from the Brewers by the Royals. And lastly, third baseman Curtis Meade was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured wrist. Meade's season might be in jeopardy at this point, and that's a terrible news for Red Sox fans and Meade and fantasy managers alike, because Meade was just acquired by the Red Sox from the Nationals in exchange for young southpaw Connelly Early. It's a very surprising move, the trade was, and so is this IL placement, as reports had come out that the imaging on Meade's wrist was negative, meaning that he didn't have a fracture, but here he is placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured wrist. It's really sucks, but with Meade out, I think we'll see Caleb Durbin continue to man third base. We'll see Andrew Monasterio at shortstop and probably Nick Sogard at second, who was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. But there are going to be a lot of moving pieces in that infield as the Red Sox try to figure things out on the offensive end. That infield is just not spectacular this season. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Andrew Alvarez was optioned to the minors by the Nationals, and Gus Varland was recalled from the minors. Outfielder Enrique Hernandez was activated from the 15-day IL after missing 2 months with an oblique strain, and Hernandez will be the backup utility infielder for the Dodgers, as second baseman Alex Freeland was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Starting pitcher Hunter Dobbins was optioned to the minors by the Cardinals. Reliever Peter Strzelecki was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. We saw outfielder Rob Refsnyder activated from the 10-day IL by the Mariners after missing a month with knee inflammation. Refsnyder will be on the short side of a designated hitter slash right field platoon. It seems like Dominic Canzone is just locked into DH nowadays, so maybe Refsnyder is just in right field platooning with Luke Rayleigh. Third baseman Buddy Kennedy was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. Catcher Garrett Stubbs was activated from the 10-day IL after missing the minimum time with wrist inflammation. He'll return to being the Phillies backup catcher to JT Realmuto, as catcher Peyton Henry was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, shortstop Javier Baez was activated from the 60-day IL after missing 3 months with an ankle sprain. Baez looks to be the Tigers' everyday center fielder moving forward, as they had James Outman on the strong side of a platoon there, and he was really not up to the task for that, mostly on the offensive end. He's a decent outfielder, but he's a guy who strikes out 40% of the time, so you can't really have that. So Baez will take over for the Tigers in center field as catcher Jake Rogers was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Hayden Wesneski is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL today to start in LA against the Angels. Wesneski has missed all season after undergoing Tommy John surgery last May. He's somebody with exciting breaking stuff, but it may be a while until he gets his command under control, as that's usually the last thing that comes after Tommy John surgery. We also have another Tommy John returnee as starting pitcher AJ Smith-Shaver is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL today to start in Queens against the Mets. Shaver has been out all year after undergoing Tommy John surgery last June. He's somebody that has displayed potential in the past, but as a young arm without much experience in the majors and with the lack of control that comes from Tommy John surgery and invasive surgery in the elbow, I wouldn't be running to the wire to go pick up AJ Smith-Shaver. He's in the same boat as Wesneski as things currently stand. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Tuesday, a day in which we had 15 games on the slate, which seems like a full slate, but that is a trick on your minds. It's an optical illusion. There was a doubleheader between the Guardians and the Reds, but the Mets and Braves had their game postponed due to inclement weather. It'll be made up today in a doubleheader. We'll start it off with their hitters, leading off with outfielder Yordan Alvarez, who helped the Astros to win against the Angels in LA, going 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, two runs batted in, and a walk. It was his 35th home run of the year, and it traveled 427 feet at 109 miles per hour. And I implore you to go on whatever video service you use to watch home runs, because the sound off Yordan Alvarez's bat in this one was like a video game, like a movie. It was ridiculous, like The Natural. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but the crack of the bat off Yordan is absolutely different, and he has been absolutely different, setting himself apart from all the other hitters in baseball. He leads MLB with those 35 homers. He also leads MLB with a .435 on base percentage, a .647 slugging percentage, and obviously a .1082 OPS. He also leads the American League with his .325 batting average, his 74 runs, his 80 runs batted in, and his 126 hits. He is in line to win the Triple Crown in the American League. He would become the first player to do so since Miguel Cabrera. And I think at this point, as long as Alvarez stays healthy, he has the American League MVP award all but locked up. Next, we have catcher Eduardo Valencia, who helped the Tigers to win against the Orioles, going 4-for-5 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 4 homers now. The first one traveled 416 feet at 106 miles per hour, and the second one went 372 feet at 97 miles per hour. Valencia has gone deep 4 times in just 7 games, despite getting more than 2 at-bats in just 3 of them. So really, just 3 full starts from Valencia, and he's got 4 homers. It's an incredible way to start your career. He clearly has power, and he displayed it not only here, but in the minors with 17 homers at AAA, along with power indicators like a 113 mile per hour max exit velocity and a 14% barrel rate at AAA. The only problem for Valencia is playing time. Where is he going to play? Dylan Dingler won't be seating any time behind the plate, and the Tigers seem reticent to give him more playing time at DH. But if this performance gets Valencia additional opportunities, he could end up being a second catcher option in deep leagues. And lastly, outfielder Dominic Canzone helped the Mariners to win in LA against the Dodgers, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 18 homers now. The first one went 433 feet at 108 miles per hour, and the second one went 414 feet at 108 miles per hour. Last year's half season from Canzone was great, but Canzone has fully broken out in 2026 with an .863 OPS and a WRC plus north of 140, which is a top 20 mark in baseball. The big keys for Canzone is that he's limiting his strikeouts. He's around 20%, and he's doing his usual thing of hitting the ball hard with 115 mile per hour max exit velocity and a 14% barrel rate. But the biggest difference for Canzone has been more consistent playing time against the left-handed pitchers, same-handed pitchers. And that's because he's played well against them. He has not been somebody that needs to be platooned, and that's allowed him to have this breakout season where he's not limited. He doesn't have to try to stay in the zone while he's stay in the can zone. That's a good pun there. to keep him locked in at the plate. He doesn't get all these days off. He's playing every single day at DH. And it means that with his prodigious power, he'll easily eclipse 25 homers this year. And 30 homers isn't out of the question for Canzone if he really goes on a hot streak in the final 2 months. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Tuesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Gavin Williams, who did all he could, but the Guardians lost in Cincinnati. He tossed 7 innings, allowing 3 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 1 while striking out 12. He induced 25 whiffs with 37% CSW across 101 pitches, and Williams earned the golden goal as he led baseball with those 25 whiffs to earn the gallows pole. And he earned the King Cole by leading baseball with that 37% CSW. Williams also leads the American League with 168 strikeouts and 133 and a third innings pitch. So it's been an incredible season from Williams in the volume departments. And he has now fanned 11 batters in 3 straight starts. Well, he did that 3 straight starts entering this one. It's now been 4 straight starts as he one-upped himself with a dozen strikeouts on Tuesday. So entering Tuesday, 3 straight starts with 11 strikeouts now. He 12 strikeouts in this one. That's 4 straight starts with at least 11 strikeouts. Pretty impressively, Williams is a guy who has never really had great control, but he's walked just 2 batters during that time as well. And only Chris Sale has had a longer streak of starts with 10 strikeouts and no more than 1 walk. He did that 5 starts in a row. And Williams is just the 23rd pitcher ever with 4 straight starts with 11 strikeouts or more. Williams is throwing a tick harder while leaning heavily on sweepers and 4 seamers. And if he keeps that up, Williams' streak should continue versus the Mets up next. Taj Bradley helped the Twins to a win against the Royals, tossing 6 innings, allowing 3 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 3 while striking out 10. He induced 15 whiffs with 33% CSW across 102 pitches. And Bradley succeeds when he's throwing strikes, and he's been doing so pretty often this year. His main trio of pitches each eclipsed 65% strikes here, and that's really all he needs. His stuff is dope, and he dominates in the zone. All 3 of those pitches induced at least 3 strikeouts. 4 seamers led the trio with 73% strikes, thanks to a passive Royals lineup, allowing Bradley to steal 12 called strikes with the heater, while cutters acted as the whiff pitch, leading his arsenal with 7 swings and misses. And as long as Bradley throws strikes, there's no reason to believe he won't keep dominating in Seattle up next. And lastly, we have Griffin Jacks, who did all he could, but the Rays lost to the Rangers. He tossed 5 2/3 innings, allowing 5 hits and 1 run, walking 3 while striking out 10. He induced 19 whiffs with 33% CSW across 93 pitches. And this should be the most exciting start of the year for fantasy managers who roster Griffin Jacks. The ratios aren't spectacular, but the double-digit strikeouts are dope. However, we have seen him do that this year already. What we haven't seen him do is eclipse 90 pitches, and that's exactly what he did here, giving us hope that Jax can consistently pitch deeper into games and qualify for quality starts rather than being pulled after 5 frames like we've seen him do in 7 of his last 10 starts. With a dope and deep arsenal that hasn't lost a step during his transition from the bullpen, Jax will ascend to being a top 25 starter with this extended pitch count. He may even pitch into the 7th inning versus the White Sox next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Tuesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Cade Smith recorded his MLB-leading 30th save with a hitless 9th. Jacob Blatz pitched a perfect 9th for his 21st save. Pete Fairbanks recorded his 14th save with a perfect 9th. Clayton Beter pitched a perfect 9th for his 11th save. Emilio Pagan also recorded his 11th save with a scoreless 9th. David Bednar worked around a 2-run homer for his 22nd save. Josh Hader recorded his 14th save with a perfect 9th. Hogan Harris worked around a 2-run homer for his 9th save. And Andres Munoz worked around a run for his 19th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Gregory Soto allowed the zombie runner to score in the 10th. The Pirates would go on to lose in 12 innings. Paul Sewald served up 2 home runs in the 9th inning to blow his 3rd save. He's allowed 12 earned runs in his last 11 and a third innings pitched since mid-June for a 9.53 ERA during that time. He has the highest home run per 9 mark among relievers with at least 30 innings pitched this year. And I think Paul Sewald's closer job is in jeopardy. And if the Diamondbacks decide to switch it up, I think Juan Murillo should be the first man up in the Diamondbacks bullpen. Alex Lang allowed two runs in the ninth to blow his third save and take his sixth loss. If the Royals decide to switch it up, Steven Cruz might be the one to take over the closer role after this performance from Lang. Cruz has two saves in the past week. And lastly, Mason Miller struck out the side in order in a tie game in the ninth, and he earned his third win when the Padres walked it off in the bottom half. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Wednesday, July 29th, a day in which we'll have a packed slate of 16 games as the Braves and Mets will partake in a doubleheader. My matchup of the day is Tarek Skubal versus Trevor Rogers. We've got two southpaws who have been pitching excellently recently. That should be a real head-to-head clash of some of the best left-handed starters in baseball right now. In terms of probable starters, we've got eight guys in the auto starts tier, including Skubal and Rogers. We've also got Chris Sale in Queens, Cam Schlittler on the south side of Chicago, and Jesus Luzardo in Miami. Our probably starts tier has five guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Dustin May versus the Cubs. He has gone through his tough stretch, and he's come out of it looking as strong as ever. He's got one of the safest floors in baseball, and he's proven to have a ceiling that's well worth chasing. Go start Dustin May versus the Cubs. If you're looking for another starter, Eric Lauer is also somebody to keep an eye out for versus the Mariners. He's not the greatest of starters. He's not going to be somebody that you're going to want to target for strikeouts, but if you're looking for a win, Eric Lauer is your man. The Mariners lineup is pretty cold right now, and the Dodgers always give their starters a pretty good shot at a win. If you're looking for a pitcher with an opener, Ian Seymour should have an opener pitching for the Rays versus the Rangers. In terms of hitter suggestions, we've got Guardians and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. It's one of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Joey Cantillo square off against Brady Singer in that one. I'd also target Braves and Mets hitters in Citi Field because they'll be having a doubleheader, so you get double at-bats from the pitchers, from the hitters in that one. The first matchup will be AJ Smith-Shaver versus Sean Manaea, and game two will see Chris Sale square off against Christian Scott. Lastly, I'd target Angels and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park. We'll see Patrick Sandoval square off against Jacob Lopez in the Bandbox in Sacramento. Now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Hogan Harris has pitched on back-to-back days, so Elvis Alvarado will be your best bet for a save for the A's. Josh Hader has pitched on back-to-back days and in four of the past five, so Brian Abreu should be the closer for the Astros on Wednesday. David Bednar has also pitched on back-to-back days and in four of the past five, so Fernando Cruz will be the temporary closer for the Yankees. Jacob Lats has pitched on back-to-back days, but so has Jacob Junis, so maybe Cole Wynn is your best bet at a save for the Rangers. Gregory Soto has pitched on back-to-back days, so Mason Montgomery should be the closer for the Pirates on Wednesday, and it feels like he keeps inching towards taking over that role full-time. And lastly, Clayton Beter has pitched in three of the past 4 days. So if the Nationals want to give Beter a day off, Orlando Ribalta could be your best shot at a save out of the Nationals bullpen. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.